Thanks for tuning in, folks, and to all of you all over the world and right here in our beautiful Columbia Pacific region. It is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, and I am delighted to be with you at this season of the moon and of all kinds of blessings, sunshine and rain and holidays for those who celebrate. I've got some moon music on for you right now. This is the Deer Moon from Greyhawk Perkins and the Mezcal Jazz Unit. Have a listen, and then I've got a very full show. Lots and lots of visual artists and a writer. Thanks for being here, folks. Elko ese and a sheeny neck. Elko ese and a sheeny neck. Heya, 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 cha, an uncle Feely. You are pizza chupa. Heya, 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 cha, an uncle Feely. You are pizza chukma. Elko ese, nashini nak. Elko ese, nashini nak. Elko ese, nashini nak. Elko ese, nashini nak. Lawa e asina, ishi anuka wiki. You are pizza chuma. We plant the fields and make medicine. We give thanks on the Deer Moon. We go to the river to reflect. Everything is beautiful on the Deer Moon. Burn the cedar, get in balance. Everything is beautiful. Well, with the moon full at this time of year, it's a pretty powerful time. And I've got some pretty powerful artists here to share their work with you. I'm going to start right out with Lloyd McMullen, who is here from Bend and is opening in a show tomorrow evening at the Cannon Beach Gallery. The name of the show, I'm not even sure of the proper name. I've mixed it up twice. It's either Changing Nature, The Green Show, or The Green Show, Changing Nature. What do you think, Lloyd?
I am not sure. Traditionally, it was The Green Show, and our proposal, Tara Doherty and I did a proposal called Changing Nature. So they sort of renamed it. So somewhere along the line, it's got both those names.
Now I get
it. I like
it.
To think Changing Nature, The Green Show.
You're the troublemakers. Got it. Okay.
That's why.
And the innovative creative artist. So you mentioned Tara Doherty. And she is also one of the artists in this show from Bend. And I want you to tell us about, I've seen some of the work online, and I want you to tell us what you've done. But I want to also mention that we have a local artist involved, and that's Steve McLeod, who many people around here know. And he's a painter as well, but one of the things he's most well known for is his... he called it tsunami debris here, but he works with all of the seaweed, basically. And some of it is huge, and some of it is the small stuff that we all run into. So he is part of this show as well. You've got stuff on the walls, and you've got stuff in the middle of the room. Tell us what you're doing.
I like to think of it as an infestation, actually.
We kind of looks that way.
Our original idea was to have something that honored the Green Show, but also to honor subjects that are dear to our heart. And Tara has been painting bugs forever. I am a found object artist, and I was more inspired by the objects for many years. Then in the last decade or so, I started using birds because they're so rich in symbolism and mythology, and they were just a great point of departure for my work. So this show, we wanted to look at where they are now in the environment and in this moment in time. So we wanted to create a wall of icons, a reliquary was our original idea, that would celebrate those flying creatures in a way that marks them as they are now and honors them. So from my part, I was trying to recreate them using transferred images, found objects, artificial and natural objects to create this new breed that would then go forward in the future.
Wow.
And then the cocoons and pods and nests, hanging sculptures, are that sort of next generation that's coming about. So Tara's got a cocoon that is fabric and little butterfly shapes, and it's very delicate and ethereal. My three pod pieces are my homage to nests. And I'm inspired by the way birds always want to build a better nest. They have nesting instinct, but they also have this urge, much like artists and the rest of the human race, to better themselves. So they're always looking around, and that's why they sometimes steal the better nest, is that they saw the better nest and they thought, sweet, you're out, I'm in.
Steal the idea. Oh,
the
oh,
next
oh,
nest.
Oh.
So my three pod shapes all contain nests that, as a found artist, found object artist, you are blessed with people giving you things. I'm given things like stovetops and fishing nets. And so I have a collection of birds that have come to me.
I got stuff for you.
Yeah, there you go. And I none of them came from trees from me. They came from garage sales, and a woman had a vase in her door that a bird built a nest in, and she didn't know until she moved. And so I got those. So those are housed in these metal frames that are covered with paper patterns and gauze and lampshades in the
How large are you talking?
The largest one is probably 7 feet. The
7 feet ceiling, tall?
Yeah. They hang from the ceiling.
Okay.
The other one is somewhere around 5 feet. And then the smallest is, say, 4 feet. It's a little hard to measure because there's a long metal spring on it. And then it's three lampshades, basically, as the base. And inside on that one, I've painted blue sky with a story that I've written in there. Mm. And then they all have hanging birds in them. And this is perch birds. And then nests on the bottom.
So do you know a lot about birds as well?
I mean, I don't know enough. I'm like a bird building a nest. I'm always trying to learn about birds because I find that I've always been inspired by the mythology and the very symbolism. And for this show, I was definitely inspired by this terrible beauty of a picture of a bird in the far reaches of the Pacific that in the sand is full of plastics. Oh. So even on the other side of the world, our impact here is felt over there. But it looked like this mosaic, and it reminded me of that arcane method of fortune telling where the seer would sacrifice a bird, split it open, and then use its bones in divination. So they would carve dice out of the bones, or they would that would foretell their future. And I looked at that and thought, that foretells our future as well. Like there we are looking at this little thing, like I take a plastic cup at Starbucks and, oh, there it is on the other side of the world. So,
And you said that your interest in birds has been going on for
10 years. All my life, of course. Yeah. But the last 10 to 15 years, I've started painting with birds.
Okay. So have you been painting all your life?
I actually was a secret painter as a child. My family was a group of writers, and painting was never viewed as an potential occupation.
Right.
So I remember that I don't know if you remember this, but there used to be the matchbook covers where you would draw something and it would be sent off and you could get a scholarship. I drew a pirate and an iceman came to the door and we were all getting ready to go out. My dad had a restaurant and I still remember we were all in our aprons and this guy showed up with his briefcase and I knew I was never going to get, they were never going to send me to art school. But that's the secret life. And then I actually graduated with a degree in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year after, I was working at a magazine, and I wanted to do some design faction. So I thought, I'll take some design and editing classes. And those weren't open, so I took a fine art class and thus changed my life from a successful person to a
struggling artist.
There you go.
And but, you're a Pacific Northwest person?
Yes. I was born and raised in the Portland area. Mm-hmm. My family had a house at Cannon Beach for a long time. And then I moved to Eugene and went to school in Eugene. I only briefly was out of the state to go to Whitman for a year at Walla Walla. Mm-hmm. And then about 30 years ago, I moved over to the other side of the mountain, and I've been over there. So
the Bend area.
So. I view myself as a landlocked mermaid.
But you're here.
I am here now, yes.
Now, you handed me these two little packets. Tell us what they are, because I don't even know.
Okay, shake them. One of our inspirations for the show was the butterfly effect, which is this notion that a small butterfly flaps its wings and it starts a breeze that ends up in a hurricane. So that notion that our little actions here have greater repercussions. So those are packets for pollinators, bees and butterflies. And if you plant them, they're beautiful little flowers.
Oh,
and
my.
So if everybody takes one and plants them, that's a good butterfly effect as opposed to what the bad butterfly effect might be.
Lovely. Thank you. And then...
they're the same thing. It's just different packaging.
Different packaging. Okay.
There you go.
Wait.
Well, that okay.
These sound bigger.
Well, that those are mine. They are bigger.
But
I got the big bag
as well. So, do you and Tara work together in Bend, or was this?
No,
how
we
did
just
this
do. We had done a show called Birds and the Bees, which we liked that idea that two of our favorite subjects were sort of how you explain life to someone, like the birds and the bees.
That's right.
And so this was a further discussion on that topic. So she and I decided that this show would be a good one to look at that topic at a broader range. And that's kind of how it came about, this partnership for the show.
Okay. What's the art scene like in Bend? Because here it's exploded. I'm just wondering. But Bend is a much bigger city, so.
Bend is a bigger city. There's a lot of traditional Western and landscape art that has always dominated the scene.
Mm.
But of late, there's been a lot more energy in contemporary art. And about 15 years ago, a friend of mine and I started an art group called Artists Local 101 that sort of wanted to investigate contemporary and outsider art especially.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in business for about 10 years, and then we got busy doing other things, and she moved, and now I'm working at this fine art print studio. But it does seem like it is growing, and that awareness of... I still remember the first show we did with our outsider show that was a lot of found object art. And people were not receptive to it. So they've learned.
And when you say outsider art, because I have been educated slowly, my idea of outsider art was people who have certain disabilities making art.
It means people who don't necessarily follow formal training, whether they have it or not. So from my vision of outside art, it is art that is, especially that junk art faction, which is as a found object artist. I love that. So that's sort of where we viewed that. Although we had a lot of people that thought we meant garden art.
Outside.
Yeah. So those yard sculptures.
Not only outside, but birds and bees.
There you go. Ideal combination.
Absolutely. Okay. So you're opening tomorrow night at the Cannon Beach Gallery. The show runs through April 26th. So it's a three-week show.
Sunday of the month, yeah.
Okay. And what did we decide? It's called Changing Nature.
Yes.
The Green Show, which is an annual show, except it depends on who's in it, what happens.
Exactly right.
So did you just apply to Cannon Beach Gallery and tell them what you had?
Thing I really appreciate is that it's a leap of faith for them, because we had a little drawing and we had some words about
Even though you had spent time here as a
I had only done
person.
A couple shows here. I never come to the gallery before this show.
Okay, wow.
And so they saw pictures of work we'd done in the past that felt relevant to where we were going with this. But this was all created for this show, pretty much. So they were very brave to take us on. And I hope they're happy with it. I know I love the space. And I love Steve's tsunami
debris
sculptures. They're very interesting sculptures.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a sort of dark whimsy that I think ties all our work together. And I think it's a really beautiful fit. So I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, it seems like politically. Actually, I had a quote from Steve. Every action, no matter how small, has a global consequence, which is exactly what you were saying as well. And I have a piece of his made out of, and they last. That's the amazing thing. You take seaweed and you put it into something. It's not shellacked or anything. It's mounted and it's last. I've had it for maybe 10 years.
And I think that's something that speaks to what I like to do too, is I like to take like these paper patterns we used to sew with. They're very ephemeral, and I put acrylic medium on them, and I make something that it's amazing to me. I'll cover leaves with the acrylic medium and makes this thing that is a tribute to nature and the staying power of natural objects. And he's got, like, there's a flip-flop one that I just love, this sculpture in this show that... There's just, you know, that people want to talk to you about the archival quality of found object art because they feel like it won't last as long as an oil painting. Mm. And I feel like I'm taking something that's survived out in nature.
Absolutely.
Let's put your oil painting out there and see which lasts longer. Mine will outlast. So that is that tribute to those stories they bring to it and their staying power.
Yeah. Now, you started off when I asked you if you've been making art all your life. You said you talked about your being a secret artist.
Yes.
And you know, I was wondering what happens when the guy knocks on the door. He never did he?
No, he came in and he talked about my score and he showed the program to my parents and we all sat in our aprons.
And then he wanted to sell it to you.
Yes, and it was expensive, and my dad had a restaurant, so guess how much money we had? Not that much. So we thanked him, and he went his way, and then we went to work at the restaurant. That was the end of that.
But you kept on making.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And now everybody approves of you?
You know, I don't, there's, as an artist, who can count on that? I started out doing landscape and more traditional work and being very successful. And now I like to think that I've carved out a niche where I'm like more in my head and I don't know where I'm going to go with it. But
it's fun.
It's a personal vision.
It feels
personal
good.
Quest. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it is something that I think every artist has to evolve. And that's what I love about the changing nature is the broad scope of that as an installation politically, but also artistically. Like everything is in flux and everything you bring to it tells a story from now and, you know, remarks the history, and then we're going forward in the future. So
yeah, and you're going to, you think you're going to stick with birds for a while? Are they still inspiring you?
Oh, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to run out of imagery and stories I can tell. They're
That's
too good.
Great. Yeah, excellent. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in, Lloyd McMullen, who is opening tomorrow night, as I said, at the Cannon Beach Gallery, Changing Nature, the Green Show. The opening is from 5 till 7.
And if you come down, you get seeds.
And you get a package of seeds, and then you can see what you may attract to your garden. Tara Doherty is the other Bend artist. She will not be here, but her work is here and hung. And then Steve McLeod, we're hoping, will also be at the opening, but for sure his work will be. I do want to mention that the Cannon Beach Arts Association, which runs the gallery, is got a lot of things happening right now. They're taking registration for their summer arts camp. Summer? Who said summer? Oh, well, the sun did come out. And their summer internship program is accepting applications only through April 15th, and that's a fantastic program. You get paid, and you get to really be on the inside. And it's a wonderful place down there. And the other thing is that there is employment opening up at the Cannon Beach Arts Association. So check out cannonbeacharts.org and read all about this stuff. And for sure, get over there tomorrow evening for the show.
Or Thank during you. The month of April.
That's right. Anytime. But tomorrow evening, you'll get to meet Lloyd. And let me tell you, we were pretty serious on this show, but we weren't very serious beforehand. That's because she wanted to pack in all the information. She's a kick. So get out there and enjoy. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks so much, Carol.
Okay. And speaking of birds, I have a little music from Luke and Katie, who are going to be playing tonight, actually, at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. That's Hook and Anchor. And this is called Blackbird. Stay tuned.
When
Coast Community Radio.
I was just a little girl, my mama said to me, be pure as gold and do as you're told, and a good man's wife you would be. Oh, but my mama's old and mine never was like my own, and pure I just could not be. River town that's got a good man is sure to have two. Oh, whoa, 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 three. So I'm sorry now, baby. I gotta go. I got no chance. Wait on my radio. Yeah. not caught their charms at all once they have been empty. For a man is like a branching tree. Yeah. Me, I'm climbing vine, and from each root, each limited leaf, I will take where I can find. So I'm sorry now, baby, I gotta.
Hook and Anchor, Luke and Katie, and again, they will be playing tonight. There's at the Columbia River Maritime Museum at the Barbie Center, actually, from 7 to 9, Knotty Beers, that's K-N-O-T, with a knot expert, Jason Linnett. I guess they're going to have beers there because why else? And Hook and Anchor, and food and beverages and all kinds of good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, I have in the studio, I have three artists, but two of them are in the upcoming show, and the third is their instructor, or one of their instructors, and that's Kristen Schock. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol.
And thank you for bringing me these wonderful artists, and I say that because I have actually seen the pictures of your work, both of you, and it's quite exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's not out yet, is it?
It is up on the wall.
It is.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
I wish I'd known. I could have come over and actually seen it. But anyway, that means, folks, that you can. This is at Clatsop Community College Art Gallery. It's on as far as you can go up 16th, if you're coming from main part of Astoria, and then take a left and go as far as you can go. And that's where the gallery is, right at the end on Lexington.
Yes.
And the opening for the show is Thursday, the 9th of April, 6 p.m. as ever. Show's going to run until April 30th. And maybe later I'll have Kristen tell us about the judge who the juror, I should say, judge and juror, Eleanor Erskine, who's got quite a bunch of credentials. But right now I want you to meet the two artists who are representing this show. How many artists are there in this show, by the way? Anybody know?
Oh, my gosh. Quite a few.
Quite a few. Okay. Okay. Well, the two that I have here are Jody Vollmer, who is taking classes in basic design, and her work is in found art, wire and paper mache. I'm just giving a little taste of it, and I'll let her talk. And Tom Bowen, whose work is in ceramics, drawing, design, and I know you both have paper mache out there as well. So whose class did you do paper mache in?
Kristen's.
Oh, it was Kristen's. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Who are you? Now, there's a bit of a discrepancy. Tom, how long have you been in Astoria?
I've been here 2 years.
Just 2 years?
Okay.
Were you making art before? Or?
No, I was sitting on a couch in a lot of pain, trying to cope with not being disabled due to a back injury.
Oh, my goodness. So what made you think of taking an art class?
Oh, I got tired of taking drugs. So I got up off the couch and, did something different.
Yeah. Well, apparently you have a knack for it because your work is wonderful.
Well, thank you.
That's amazing. That's a terrific story out there. And Tom is not the age of your typical college student. Am I right, Tom?
Well, I'm 18 at heart. But no, I'm not. I'm an old man.
The thing about our campus, though, is we have students of all ages. I don't know what typical is anymore.
You have what?
Eight grandchildren.
Okay, folks, that's enough of a perspective. No matter how early he started, that's still enough. That gives you an idea. And Jody, on the other hand, is at the other end of the spectrum, I would say. Jody, have you been living in Astoria?
I was born and raised here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, did you graduate from high school here?
Yeah, I graduated from Astoria High. And
were you involved in art in high school?
Yeah, I took art classes probably sophomore to senior year.
When did you graduate? How recent? Was it recent?
2013.
Okay,
I graduated.
So you had Mr. Mickey.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Cherugino.
That's right. He always sounds like a Mozart opera to me. And so you went right on into the art department at the college as well. Okay. So tell us. Let's go ahead and start with you, Jody. Then, what is it about art that is exciting for you?
I like the creative process. I think, like, having to go through so many different sketches to come up with one great piece that I can be proud of.
And is that what happens? Does it take you a while then, working on pieces?
Some more than others, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff do you like to, what material, what medium do you like to work in?
I mostly work with acrylic on canvas. That's my favorite.
Okay, but I got to see that found art piece of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of that, and I also got to read your artist statements. I wonder whether you can either just tell us or read us that middle paragraph, because this is about, did you write an artist statement on each piece?
Just for the sailboat, I did.
Just for the sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is the found art sculpture. We were just speaking to an artist from Bend, who's opening up in Cannon Beach tomorrow night, about her work is all found art. So could you go ahead and read that? Because I loved it.
Sure. Design-wise, the strongest feature in the driftwood surrounding the bottle of glass. The driftwood seems to be softly cradling the garbage, as if to portray nature and how it will overcome pollution by adapting or surviving by avoiding it. I wanted to show a soft and flowing motion through the usage of the driftwood. Using various curved, knotted, and straight pieces gave an appealing variety to the sculpture. The simplicity of design and the proportion of the mast, sails, and boat are evenly balanced. As I was contemplating the materials I wanted to incorporate, I tried to make sure they worked well together and complemented each other. When wrapping the driftwood around the bottle, I had to go through many sticks to get to the one I felt fit best.
Okay, well, that's talking a little bit about what you just said about the creative process and moving. Now, when you started that piece, did you say, I want to make a sailboat? Or how did this come about? Because found objects, I would think they talk to you, too.
Yeah, well, I started with just little donut slices of our Christmas tree that we had at home, and I knew I wanted to do something with wood because I'm drawn to nature in that sense, and it just kind of morphed into sailing because I started sailing this past year.
Okay.
And
it's relevant to your life.
Yeah.
And speaking of last year, are you sticking around or are you heading out?
I'm heading to Oregon State in the fall. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
We don't take sides here. I can never even remember who's the beaver and who's the duck as long as they're all ours. And did you take other courses as well at Clatsop? Did you get, or did you just go in for the art, or did you take an AA degree or what?
I'm mostly studying up on my sciences because I want to become a veterinary. I wanted to go into veterinary medicine. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Girl. You got a long haul ahead of you. That medical life. But it sounds wonderful. Do you think art's going to figure in your life?
Oh yeah. It calms me and it's relaxing.
When you were working on this work, you were at the college. Can you do this in your own home as well?
Yeah, I definitely.
So you've got potential to be able to put the homework aside and make some art and then feel good about it.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on being in the show and for doing such beautiful work.
Well, thank you.
That's Jody Vollmer. And Tom, you have a piece of ceramic in there, and from the looks of it, it's gorgeous. It looks kind of luscious, actually. Do you have a preference in the different arts forms?
I prefer clay. That's is my medium. Yeah.
Do you know why? What does it do for you?
You can take a piece of clay and it can be, it turns into whatever it wants to be. I mean, for me, it does anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I let it tell me what it's going to be, and then that's what it is. So,
well, it's pretty physical, too. I mean, all art is, but the fact that you're in there, like kneading bread used to be in the old days, but you're really getting in there.
And that's one thing I have going for me. I was a baker for 13 years.
So, oh, you're kidding.
So the clay really helps me do
Oh, my gosh. Hey, folks, yeah. I did not know that. That is really funny. Okay, well, there you go. So I can understand that there is that relationship as well. And you're going to keep taking classes?
I'm going to keep taking classes until they tell me I can't, yeah.
Okay, well, it's a community college, so I think you're good for as long as you want to be there, you know, which is terrific. Yeah. Has it made your body feel better, too? Does it help some?
It does. Because, you know, when your mind feels better, your body feels better. So, and, yeah, it's done amazing things for me. I was doing a nasty drug called methadone. It's what they kind of use to bring down heroin addicts with, and they use that to control pain with as well. Mm-hmm. And it makes you, it puts you in a stupor, and it allows you to, you know, not care much about yourself or anybody else around you. So I got rid of that, and it's nice to feel again.
Yeah, and you said you have 8 grandchildren. Any of them around here, or probably maybe not?
No, they're.
Yeah. Yeah, because you just got here.
California and Utah.
I was just thinking, you know, Texas. You're making art. Wouldn't it be fun to be able to work with the kids on that, too? So,
oh, it'd be a blast.
But, yeah, you'll have that opportunity, hopefully,
too. So we had a granddaughter up a year ago, and she came up and we did some sand dollars, and we had her painting sand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, boy, it sounds like a huge life change for you then in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a bumper sticker. Maybe you've seen it. It says, Art Saves Lives. And it sounds like, boom. You're a poster man for that. Yeah. So, wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, we only have a couple of minutes. Why don't Kristen tell us about the juror for this show and why?
Well, sure. Well, each year we choose somebody from outside of our little college world to come in because, of course, all of us as instructors, we want to put everything in the show, and I wish we could, but we have limited space, and it's also an opportunity for our students to get that real-world experience of, being part of a juried process.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, it was through Reed Clark. I know Carol knows Reed.
Oh, yeah.
And he suggested, since he was taking a class out at PSU with Eleanor, he thought she might be a good candidate for our judge this year.
Oh, okay.
And so she actually has amazing credentials. If you read the press release, you can read through.
Yeah.
But she has a very broad experience. She has an undergraduate degree in painting and printmaking, and then she went on at the Chicago Art Institute, no less, went on to Cranbrook, which is also very prestigious, and her master's degree is in printmaking and sculpture, so she kind of covers all the bases there.
And one of the things I like, I read with the PR, is that she was very impressed. She said, well, actually, I think, It was something that Dwight wrote that really blew
That's
me
right.
away.
Mm-hmm.
In the article in the Coast Weekend, there is a quote, actually, from, well, it was the late Barbara Jordan of Texas said, "The arts are not a frill. The arts are a response to our individuality and our nature and help to shape our identity. Art has the potential to unify. It can speak in many languages without a translator. The arts do not discriminate. The arts can lift us up." And I love that. I thought, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear it right here with our two artists. And of course, Kristen is an artist herself. But in this case, she's here as the instructor. And again, folks, the Clatsop Community College Student Art Show, it's an annual event, is opening Thursday. That's the 9th of April at 6 p.m. The openings are always fun, and these are especially fun when there's a lot of artists involved. And the art, a lot of it, possibly even most of it, is for sale. And this is a great time to get in on some beautiful work with people who are still studying. Of course, our printmakers have been become almost professional
yes.
around here, but still, great work. So head on up to the college on Thursday evening, and the show runs until the end of the month, the 30th of April, so you can go up there another time as well. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations again to Jody Vollmer and Tom Bowen.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're sticking around, and I know you'll be back because you're local, so that's great. Okay. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. And I have a little bit of music here from Sedona Fire Band. They are going to be playing at the White Clover Grange. There's a square dance for the first hour, and then they are playing along with the Nehalem Valley All-Stars. And that is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock are the squares, and 8 o'clock is Sedona and Nehalem Valley All-Stars. White Clover Grange on Highway 53. Coast Community Radio.
Sailing on, an ocean of tears. Oh, how I cry for you. I was looking for something, but the sorrow turned. Diving into the waves of my emotion, listening to the music from the deep. Oh, I will sing my heart's whale song, sweet and sinful. My wounded heart, each breaking wave tears the walls apart on a cliff over the sea. I dream the sun will you and me diving into the waves of my emotion. Listening to the music from the deep. Oh, I will sing my heart's whale song, sweet and simple whale song. Thank you.
And that was Sedona Fire Band, and they are going to be again at the White Clover Grange tomorrow evening. So I have a pack of folks in here, but I wanted to give a quick tip of the hat because our good friend Matt Love has a new book out. I mean, there is a lot on books today, but we've morphed the visual arts with the literary arts, sort of. Wait till you hear the next art show coming up. But here in my hand, I have, is this R-rated, Matt?
You mean the cover or the
content? The cover for a start.
It's a little send-up of a Astoria icon. Why not?
Astoria icon. Well, all I'll tell you is that the column is in it. And there's somebody on it. The name of the book is A Nice Piece of Astoria, A Narrative Guide by Matt Love, with a preface. This is fascinating. How did you do this? A preface by Meriwether Lewis.
Well, he's reincarnated and living in Astoria.
Oh, of course.
Actually, out Highway 202.
Of course. Folks, if you've never experienced Matt Love, you better start, and if you're local, I'm sure you have, in one way or another, because he's written for Hipfish, he writes for Coast Weekend, he's written 400 books, and he's all over the place. I don't know how he does it, actually, and he actually taught school.
I'm teaching again this year.
Where?
At Astoria High School, part-time English.
Oh, my goodness. Did they know about this book?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Now, we're going to do just a one-minute thing with Matt, because I've got three other guests here, and Matt kindly said, give it to them, and I'll come back, which will be great. So how long have you been working on this?
I wrote the book really fast, probably the fastest I've ever written a book. I was just so charmed by Astoria that the book, the city sort of just dragooned me into writing it.
But you've been experiencing Astoria for quite a while.
But I wrote it in about probably 6 months.
Wow.
And it's just, I love the way it turned out. And
yeah.
It's sort of an investigation of the new old Astoria and what's happening here, what did happen, and how exciting it is to be a part of this community now after all these years of wanting to move here.
And one of the fun things is you can open anywhere and start reading because there are all these little vignettes. Well, you put out that whole Rain book now. I see you've got Rain in here, too.
Yeah, I call this basically the sequel to the Rain book. Because Rain is such a huge part of living in Astoria, and as we all know.
As we do, yeah. But this one happens to be Rain the Socialist. And Rain Cruise Ship. So Rain Observations, Mail Woman. I can't wait to read the whole thing. I just opened it up and read bits and enjoyed it thoroughly. So, okay, so we are going to get you back in here. Where can, how
it's at all the bookstores in Astoria, Manzanita, Seaside.
Oh, great.
It's also at some other retail shops down on Commercial Street. Just putting the book in a lot of unconventional places for people that don't necessarily go to bookstores anymore but want to be able to find a book. So,
yeah, and this is not only is it a must-have, it also will probably be a must-gift because this may actually help bring your friends that you've been trying to get to come visit you. You send them this book and they'll say, what kind of a crazy place is this? What kind of people you got living
exactly.
there? I'm coming. Hey, Matt Love, congratulations.
Thank you, Carol.
On yet another accomplishment. I'm delighted you keep me, you keep me in touch with your creative juices here. And I look forward to when you have a reading.
July 25th is going to be a big, we'll call it the Astoria Literary Walkabout, and we'll talk about that in a couple months.
Okay, you'll be back.
All right, okay, thanks for having me
on. Thank you so much. Matt Love, A Nice Piece of Astoria, and you can find the book, A Narrative Guide. You can find the book, so look for it. Well, the reason Matt just came and went is because his book colleagues are here. Oh, Actually, let's get that mic now. No, stay there. Just, yeah, there you go. Bring it to you. I have three people in the... No, I didn't give you permission to touch the mic. See, that's what... I have them turned on and off. Have you ever been on the radio? Neither of you.
I have.
You have. So we have two radio virgins here, folks, and they are not children. Right? Might I say that? Is that fair to say? Okay. Well, congratulations, because you are no longer radio virgin. But the way you grabbed the mic, I could tell. So that's great. I'm so delighted to have you here. Here's how this emerged, folks. I got this notice about a fascinating-looking show with great graphics by a guy named Scott Wilson, who is the proprietor of, I believe, a Polaris Gallery in Manzanita. Looked wonderful, called The Book Unbound. I immediately wrote it up so we could get it on the air when the time comes. And then I got a note from the North Tillamook Library folks saying, boy, we have this interesting project happening, and don't you think you should pay attention to this? And I said, oh, I'm already paying attention. But then I wrote to Scott and said, hey, Scott, why don't you come in and be on the radio? And he said, I can't. I'd love to, but I can't. He was very sweet about it, but he said, no, I can't. That did not stop Monica and Gail, my guests. Gail Young, raise your hand, please, so everybody knows. Thank you. And Monica Isbell. And they said, well, how about we come? Actually, it wasn't they who wrote the notes, but we're going to, you know, who was it who?
It was probably Kay Stepp, who's the president.
You can say it out loud.
It was Terry Zolka. She's also on the North Tillamook Library board.
I didn't write that down, but that's who it was. Terry was doing the behind-the-scenes work. And so I said, yes, I would love to, because, after all, books are art, even when they're not upcycled. And Scott couldn't stand the suspense, and he had to come too, and we are absolutely delighted. So all three of you are here. What's the relationship between the show, The Book Unbound, and the North Tillamook Library?
Well, Scott came to us and told us about his idea for the show, The Book Unbound, and proposed that he do the show as a fundraising benefit for the library, for the North Tillamook Library.
And you said, well,
and
I don't
we
know.
Said, we said, wow, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely.
It was completely from him. And we're thrilled because we're having our opening right before the National Library Week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect.
Nice.
And we're also thrilled with the idea of joining art and books.
Absolutely. Well, as you see, Matt Love is in here with his book, so we do all the arts here. However, this is a little unconventional in terms of books, because we were all taught to be very respectful of books. We don't tear pages. We don't write in the book. I remember an author said when he went to sign in the child's book, the kid started crying. And the mother said, what's wrong? He's writing in my book, you know, that kind of thing. So, Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
And
it's great to be here.
And tell us what you've done and what prompted you to do this. How did this idea come to you? Because I want you to describe what you are. Bring the mic down a little bit.
I turn down a little bit? There
yeah.
you go. How's
Good.
That?
Perfect.
Well, it's fun to work with other, you know, communities and retailers and nonprofits in Manzanita. So I had this idea, which started off as building a chair out of paperbacks. That was the original thought, and I thought it'd be fun to have a show about that. But as the show evolved, and I got into the engineering part of building chairs out of books, I decided to expand the whole idea and make it more of a fundraiser to assist the library and some maintenance and some ideas for the future for them.
But how did you have the guts or the gall to do what you've done to the books? First, tell folks what you've done.
Well, books that are needed to be upcycled or recycled, and they're ready to be downcycled because of certain things that are wrong with them. Either there's too much ink and they can't be bleached, or there's too much glue so they can't be recycled and they end up being landfill. But in this case, we're going to upcycle them into art and do something different with them, whether it be folding, cutting, gluing, hanging, tearing, ripping.
These are so fun and gorgeous to look at. Tell people whatever that website or how I saw the pictures, so folks can actually go there and look at what we're talking about.
The book Unbound is on my website, or on the gallery's website rather, www.polarisgallery.com, and there's a section there where you can get a preview of about 20 pieces that will be featured in the show.
Oh, good.
And that gives you some indication of what's to come.
Yeah, because you really have to see it. I mean, I saw the picture and I loved it. But seeing it in person, and this one here, I don't even understand what you did to get those letters in there.
In folding books, there's always a pattern needed, and there's a surprising amount of math involved. But it's simple math, but nevertheless, patterns need to be established, which set the folding pattern. And then after that, it's a matter of time, because folding 420 pages can take a while, and it has to be exact, otherwise your image won't be as wonderful as you want it to be. Yeah.
So how did you conceptualize this even?
Well, I wanted a variety of things that shows what you can do with books, and even books
besides
that...
Besides read them.
Besides
obviously
read them,
we have
yeah.
a library.
They were headed for landfill, and so take the covers off and let's play with them. Let's cut them and make them into something that could be used in some sort of decorative way, or just as a playful way, or as a gift. It can be anything, or just for temporary exhibit such as this.
Now, I can hear some people out there saying, why does a book have to be gotten rid of? And you gave us some answers, but one of the things you said was it too much glue to go in a landfill. But why would it even be thrown out? Why do people throw out books?
One example is in May, every May, the North Tillamook Library holds our annual book sale, and that covers nonfiction, fiction, a wide variety. And we sell a tremendous number of books that are donated to us from the community and as a fundraiser. Some of the books that are donated to us are the 15th copy of old paperback that we just can't sell, or it's a set of encyclopedias that are from 1945 that nobody will purchase. So we have some inventory that is not saleable, and we went through that inventory and along with Scott, and he picked out some books that he thought were artistic and appropriate for this type of exhibit and work that he's doing, these three-dimensional pieces out of books. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear that, folks? Just in case you were concerned that they were ripping books off the bookshelf, that you might want to be reading. And in fact, you can still read these if you want.
Yes.
But as soon as you see it, you might decide, I like it better the way what Scott did to this. So Scott, you are an artist. You have a gallery. What other kinds of work do you do?
I initially was a graphic design, and I always liked the idea, the marriage of text and image. And in this case, the image is sort of sculpture, which the books are. So this was before I took up painting, I think, seriously, probably in 1999 when I went back to college at PSU. So right now I basically just run the gallery and I showcase my work and occasionally others.
Mm-hmm. And this is all in Manzanita?
Correct.
Okay. Right. When we keep saying Tillamook, but we don't forget the North Tillamook.
The library's name is North Tillamook Library in Manzanita.
Oh,
it just
really?
Happens to be in Manzanita, so that our official name is North Tillamook Library.
Okay.
And we serve the whole North Tillamook area from Rockaway North.
Okay. Yeah. And we think of, the tri-villages, Nehalem, Manzanita, and Wheeler, really, as the main thing.
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So what do you do connected with the library, Monica and Gail?
Well, both of us are on the board, this library is a unique undertaking, and from I think a lot of people in other communities go under the impression that the city or county is the one who operates a library and it's funded through taxes. We are a public-private partnership, the North Tillamook Library. The building and grounds are owned by the North Tillamook Library Friends, which are the members who donate funds for the upkeep and maintenance of the grounds and the building. And then the Tillamook Library system contributes the staff, the librarians, and the actual materials, the books, the CDs, the other more digital types of products that we have in our library. So it's a wonderful partnership that is unique, and Gail and I both serve on that board.
This is volunteer.
It's all volunteer.
Of course. Yes.
And so we're always looking for new friends mm-hmm. to join us in our efforts to serve this whole community.
How does someone get in touch with if they want to get involved with the library part, not just the art project, which we should mention before we run out of time here. The opening for the Book Unbound show is April 11th, which is Saturday, a week from tomorrow. And it's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon.
6:30. It's till 6:30.
From 4 until 6:30.
Yes.
4 until 6:30.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they throw you out. Oh, no, wait, no. And then the show runs through the end of the month.
Though. Correct.
And the work is for sale?
Yes, yes, or to donate to the library. You can donate
while you're there,
we can hold it for you. And let me add, Carol, that the gallery opens at 11 o'clock. So that it's open all day, but the reception is at 4 to 7.
Okay, good, good.
So people, and then open Sunday and Monday as well, you know.
And the gallery is on Lineta, the main street in Manzanita.
Everything in Manzanita is on Lineta.
It's 457. As you're heading west, the gallery's on your right.
Well, I don't even bother to give addresses in Manzanita. It's so tiny and everything's on Lineta.
Absolutely.
And if you can't find it, you just ask anyone there. So, so that's the, and where is the library?
Right up the street from Polaris Gallery.
There you go.
So we're a few doors up the street.
Okay, so you can see both. Now, so we got the website for Polaris. Mm-hmm. Tell us again.
www.polarisgallery.com.
Gallery.com, okay.
And the email for the library is ntlf1987.
Get out of here.
@gmail.com.
So it stands for North Tillamook Library Friends.
Okay.
At North Tillamook.
Okay.
With 1987.
1987 is the year of our dedication.
Oh, boy.
Our original dedication.
Okay,
we're dealing
folks.
With a 28-year-old building, and as Monica said, Friends are responsible for the maintenance of that building, so we really appreciate the fundraiser that Scott's doing for us.
Wonderful. And you don't have to become a board member if you're a friend. You can just pitch in, help out on something, or pitch in some money to keep this library alive. But in the meantime, this sounds like a lot of fun. I wanted to mention, though, also that the library has something going on tomorrow, as far as I can tell, from 2 to 3, gathering Anna Kesey's Little Century.
Right.
Yeah,
Anna Kesey visited the writer's series at the Hoffman Center a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
and
okay.
read from her book Little Century.
Ah, okay. So
tomorrow
there's
a discussion at the library of that book from 2 to 3.
So this is a library that is alive and well, and you can help support it. And Scott Wilson is definitely doing that, artist and owner and published author. So he writes books as well as takes them apart and makes beautiful art objects. Thank you so much. Sculpture, basically. Thank you so much for coming this way.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to
thank you,
see
Carol.
You and I would love to see the whole show.
Thanks.
We got to go.